we kicked the drummer out of the band because his timing was awful. He was so upset, he went to the station and threw himself behind a train. Poor drummer. Truly he is in the wrong line of work, when timing it right is literally everything. Probably he just got into it at the wrong time. Talk about timing. Let's take a look at what happened with the shepherds the very night of Lord Jesus' birth.
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
There you are. Got the coffees. Land of Goshen, that line was long. All right, couple coffees. Tobias, here's yours with extra goat milk. Had to smell that the whole way here. Thank you so much. And I have a juniper tea. Which one of you guys have the juniper tea with two extra shots of honey, huh? You look like the juniper. And an extra large boba tea for me because I made the run. And it's all gone. Ira, if you will. Guys, where's all the sheep?
Zeke, come back! No, thank you! We're not making this up!
Oh, you're not making this up?
Oh, golly gee then, Eamon. Then maybe I will believe that, what, a gaggle of angels came down?
Technically, they're called heavenly hosts.
Not the time, Tobias.
It's always the time for proper nomenclature.
That's the motto I live by.
Fine. A heavenly host of little cherubs.
No. Not little. They were humongous.
Yeah, Ira buckled like a newborn lamb.
I might have a new concussion. I taste pennies right now.
Okay. Come on, ladies! Sweepy!
Zeke, we're leaving the sheep.
Bathsheba! Bathsheba!
The angel told us where to find the Messiah.
Figures! Figures the angels would tell you and not me. You want to know why? Because I am always, 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 always left out of things. I am left out every time.
That's not true.
It is so true. How about the time that I stayed back and I watched the sheep while you all went to go chase those wolves for that farmer? And what did you get in return? A year's worth of free olive oil!
You guys remember that olive oil?
Remember when we put them on those crackers?
Hey! Hey! How about the time that I missed out on that amazing water spout at the Sea of Galilee because I was searching for herbs for Ira's weak stomach?
Can we just say my stomach was disappointed in me?
Fine. Then riddle me this. How about the time that my best friend forgot to tell me about Tobias' surprise birthday dinner for some strange oversight of, forgetting that I exist? I am left out of everything, so why shouldn't I be left out of this? The Messiah. I guess he's just leaving me out, too.
Stop it! Not the face! Leave me alone! Stop! Zeke! Stop! You stop! Zeke!
Come here! Listen to me!
Listen to me!
Listen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you missed out on so much. That's on us. But today, in the town of David, the Savior was born to us. To all of us. I can't let you miss out on that. Well, better not keep that baby waiting.
Idea! Pit stop for more boba teas on the way?
Not a chance.
Going on a coffee run to the Bethlehem Starbucks and Plum missed a concert of angels. Well, I'd be upset too. But it wasn't like he'd been playing hooky. He was actually dutifully helping out his fellow shepherds. Still, he let his disappointment get the better of him, and the insinuations, accusations, selective memories get the better of him. Nasty and ill-advised words started flying, to say nothing of being accentuated by some flying fists to drive home the points. While grammatically correct Tobias and Ira, with the easily upset stomach, stood helplessly by, Naaman and Zeke dissolve into a flurry of fists and fury. After an apology is offered and forgiveness given, they hurriedly go on their way to see this newborn baby Messiah. Turns out that Zeke wouldn't miss out after all. And aren't there times that all of us feel like Zeke? Left out? Ignored? Running late? Missing out? Well, if our hearts are right with the Lord, what looks to be horrible timing may actually turn out to be, in the end, absolutely perfect. Consider our days now in 2025. We're old enough to have gone through years of normal human living, through many trials and tribulations, some more than others. But we should know, after all these years, that God has always been with us, every single minute of every single hour of every day and week and month and year and lifetime. We just may not have been paying attention. We may have slipped our hands out of the Lord's, and he had to push us one way or other to keep us from going too far astray. We may even have tried to escape his loving grasp, but we, by his grace, mind you, finally decided that he knew better after all, which is why we're here. Our times now are perilous times, but we're not here by accident. God put each of us right here, right now, on purpose, not early nor late. We're all perfectly timed to be here, to be his people and servants for this world right now. Consider the time that the famous Christmas carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," was written. It was right in the middle of the Civil War. Truly, the whole country was at war. Worst of all, it was at war with itself. The casualties were horrific. America has never suffered such loss of life as then. May it never happen again. But in our days, we are suffering tremendous loss of life as well. We are at war again, a kind of cold civil war. When one political party is so deceived and deceiving that they see nothing wrong and with letting in hordes of enemy terrorist combatants, with the smuggling spigots full-on spewing fentanyl, cocaine, heroin, etc., with over 100,000 Americans dying each year from drug overdoses, is not this a war? When outstanding Christian leaders are assassinated in broad daylight on college campuses, is this not war? When the former president, while campaigning, miraculously survived two assassination attempts, is this not war? Bleak as it appears, is there now no more hope for us? Let this inspired Christmas carol answer for us.
Peace on earth, good.
Living in the end of days, we don't know how many more years are left before our Lord Jesus returns in the sky to call all of us up in the rapture to join him in the skies from where he will take us all back to heaven. But then, just a few years later, he will return to earth, this time to take charge over everything, as we just read in Psalm 2. And this time, he'll bring us all with him as we all take our places in heaven's vast armies. Then the millennial reign of Christ Jesus the King will commence. It won't quite be heaven on earth, but he will totally run the show on earth with us as his administrators here. Humans in those days will learn what it is like to live under the direct governance of God, an absolute theocracy where God in Christ rules everything justly as everyone exercises their free will. There will still be sin, but a whole lot less of it, since Satan, Revelation 21-3 tells us, will be bound and imprisoned in the abyss for the entire 1,000 years. Those days will be almost as if the Garden of Eden has been restored over the entire earth. There will be universal peace among the nations, no more fighting or war, no more animals preying upon other animals, near perfect health for all, with all living multiple hundreds of years. Not quite heaven on earth, but a necessary transition step from what's going on now and the eternal heaven on earth that commences shortly after the initial millennial reign concludes. And it's all happening right on schedule. It's been about 2,030 years since our Lord was humanly born. He came just when needed. Alexander the Great's Greek Empire had come and gone, but unlike all other empires before him, he sought to Hellenize all the lands he conquered in what turned out to be a short life of only 32 years. His vision was to make Greek all the peoples he governed. The Greek language, which Alexander standardized, and Greek religion and culture was taught in the many schools he had established. So successful was he that even after the Roman Empire took over, Greek remained the lingua franca of the whole civilized world for centuries afterward, even for us, Just consider the myriads of root words we still use in English that are originally Greek. The influence of Greek culture was so pervasive that even many Jews were in danger of losing their own cultural identity. And if it weren't for the devout clan of the Maccabees, the Jews might have vanished entirely. Indeed, because of the loyalty of the Maccabees to God and each other, the Lord blessed them to successfully rebel and throw off the paganizing, desecrating rule of the Greek Seleucid Emperor Antiochus Epiphanes in 164 BC, with the liberation of Jerusalem and the rededication of the temple, now called Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication, or the Festival of Lights, which just so happens to happen during the Christmas season, which just so happens to celebrate the birth of Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. Our Lord Jesus was born during the celebration of the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, who is the very light of lights, the light of the world. Could God not have scheduled this any perfectly? Seems he did it right on purpose. And he was born in Bethlehem. The name means the house of bread. Did he not proclaim himself to be the very bread of life? And we commemorate his body being the bread of Holy Communion every Sunday? Sounds like this was on purpose as well. Furthermore, he was born in a stable, which in those days were caves, not freestanding wooden buildings. But because there were no vacancies in any upper rooms in the whole town, Joseph and Mary had to find a cave. Turns out it was in one of the very caves surrounding Bethlehem in which were birthed the special lambs destined to be slaughtered for the Passover sacrifice. These special lambs had to be kept unblemished, unscratched all the days of their lives, so they would be perfect sacrifices at Passover. To keep them from scratching or scraping themselves, they were wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid down in straw-lined feeding troughs called mangers, which would protect the little ones, the little lambs, from in any way injuring themselves as their sacred lives depended on it until they were sacrificed for the sins of the nation in the temple come next Passover. Sounds like this was all on purpose, too, happening at just the right time, the perfect time. The shepherds themselves were no ordinary shepherds. These were special temple shepherds employed by the priests to procure and supply the lambs needed for the temple sacrifices. For them to witness the angelic army in the sky and be told what to look for, this unique, miraculous sign of a human baby wrapped and sleeping in the exact same way as the baby lambs, well, the point could not be lost by any of those shepherds. It was plain what it all meant. I wonder how many of them were still alive 33 years later, when the Lamb of God, whom they had seen as a newborn baby, was actually sacrificed on the day of Passover for the sins of the whole world, indeed the whole nation. God's timing is always perfect, not a minute too soon or a minute too late, just perfect. May we praise him now as we celebrate his perfect timing and coming to earth in the perfect place on the perfect night. Let's all sing as we do every year, O Holy Night. Savior's birth. Long
small.